Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministry. Great to be with you today. It is Thursday. It is November 5th, 2020. Had to look at the dates. Everything's been going really fast. No tally up yet as the elections that are going on, but I want to go a little bit deeper today. I want to get behind what's going on in our country. I want to begin today in Revelation chapter 13. But first of all, I want to say good morning to our friends. I'm seeing that Pastor Jeff in Manassas, Virginia is with us. Pastor Jeff Bass, good morning to you, sir. And I want to give you the number right up front. So when you have something you want to share, I'm going to ask you, Pastor Jeff, and all the other pastors out there that will tune into the broadcast today that have some impartation. The number again is 818-369-0326. And as a matter of fact, let me just put that out. The number to call, write this down, 818-369-0326. And what we're going to do is open the lines today. I'm going to go through some scripture. I want to understand what's going on in the world. I want to look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times. I want to interpret them properly. And as we gather together and we look at world events through that biblical lens, maybe you have some scripture that God has put in your heart or mind that you would like to share with the listening audience today. And remember, this morning broadcast, it goes to the ends of the earth. It shows up in Blog Talk Radio, Omega Radio, Facebook, YouTube. And so we are wanting to bring forth light and truth through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to awaken God's people like wise virgins. And you know, all the virgins are going to wake up. Eventually, according to Matthew 25, all the virgins are going to awake. The only thing is, five were wise and five were foolish. We want to make sure that this broadcast has been utilized to impart information, revelation, inspiration, equipping, so that you would know what is ahead and by the scripture. And because you know what's ahead, you were able to foreplan. You were able to get yourself ready to stand in the gap, spirit, soul, and body. And I think that's super important. Honestly, I do. I believe it is so important that God's people understand what it means to be ready in their physical body, which means all the preparations necessary to face what Jesus said was coming down the pike. And I'll give you an example of what I mean. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Listen, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And so we know that famine is coming. We know that economic imbalance is coming. We know that pestilences are here. And all these things already do exist in the earth today. In different parts of the world, there already is famine. There is pestilence, obviously, is all over the world right now. And yet we know that there are specific things. We're hearing of earthquakes again and all the different end time events that are recorded in the Word of God for our wisdom. So what I want to do in the very first place is I want to prepare my physical being. And what I'm not saying this is the order of things. Always be prepared in the spirit in your salvation. But on this earth at this time, knowing that the storm is coming, knowing that there's going to come a new world order, knowing that there's a mark coming that you will not be able to buy or sell unless you receive the mark. And if you receive the mark, you're going to die an eternal death. Okay, that's in the Word. So I know that I have to prepare. Now, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, if I am physically prepared, I'm going to have a little bit more peace, a little bit more stability. However, if I'm first of all spiritually prepared, that spiritual preparation is going to bring peace to my soul. I'm going to have an ability to know how to prepare physically for myself and my family and my loved ones. So these are important issues. And Jesus said that the time is coming. So again, being prepared for what is coming is very real. And I want to give you an example. Maybe you've thought about this. Maybe you haven't. I don't know. But what I do know is this mask issue. You know that if Joe Biden were to be elected, he has already said that he is going to shut down the nation and he is going to demand the wearing of masks. Right now on your television screens, the commercials that come out talks about social distancing, washing your hands, and wearing your mask. Well, what happens when it becomes a mandated issue, a federal law, something that is demanded? So with the mind of, well, we're going to overcome coronavirus or COVID-19, whatever it is. So that's the agenda. It looks good, and everybody needs to wear a mask. And if you don't wear a mask, you seem to be the rebellious one. You stand out. You're against the flow. You're not loving. You're not kind. You're a hater because you're a super spreader and, you know, put your mask on. And then it gets so intense where they make the demand, not right now. It's very relaxed in particular places where the signs are there. It's required you wear a mask, but they don't enforce it yet. It's like a law on the books. And the law is on, there are many laws on the books that I think are going to be shocking in the days ahead that are connected to an international criminal court. And maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that later. But the laws are on the books. The requirements are on the doors. They're telling us how to do this. So if Biden gets in, then what happens? A mandated mask wearing. And if you're traveling, you won't be able to go into your bank. You won't be able to go to the store. You won't be able to go shopping if it gets that intense. What it is a foretelling of what the mark of the beast will be like, what the mark of the beast will be like. And I think it's very important that we understand the Bible says a time will come that the Antichrist will have a mark, a global system, that the inhabitants of the earth that survive what is coming on the earth before we get to the great tribulation, okay, that this new world order, this system of governance, that the population that will be actually worshiping the beast, not knowing it's a dragon, not knowing it's a beast, they're going to be looking at some governmental, charismatic, Luciferian, light-bearing, you know, agenda, and it's going to look great, and they're going to say, wow, this is the best, kind of like voting for Joe Biden right now. There are actual people that are calling themselves Christians that are voting for Biden, and they're like, yeah, we want Joe. Do they really know what they're voting for? A born-again Christian or a person that calls himself a Christian is voting for somebody that stands for abortion, stands for homosexuality, stands for government control, demanding that people do what the government tells them to do, and taking away the sovereignty. He'll also make rules. I told a friend yesterday, I believe that if Joe Biden were to get in the first few weeks or months, you're going to see active shooters released, just like the terror card is being played again in different countries right now, where Islamic terrorism is beginning to rise again. I believe you're going to see active shooter cases. And then Joe Biden, his administration, the Kamala Harris's, the radical left, the Barack Hussein Obama's are going to go after the guns. When Barack Obama was president, the New Hampshire shooting took place. And the whole idea is we got to revisit, you know, gun laws. And so I do believe that if Joe Biden were to make it in there, we're going to see an incredible shift that the Christian community is going to have to be prepared for. And I will tell you that I believe that it's going to be very easy for the very best Christians to capitulate to the deception that is going to come into this earth. Man, Jesus said, if it were possible, even the very elect could be deceived. And what we mean by that is that people will simply begin to accept that these new laws and these new this new legislation is actually going to be healthy and good. And the mind of man that has been manipulated for decades now in our generation, the mind control, the social conditioning, all the events through artificial intelligence and technology today, we know that there has been mind control, the ability to stir up a crowd and to lessen that crowd's passion. So something of an experiment has been going on. The Bible talks about it. The world will be conditioned to receive the mark of the beast. They will worship the beast, and only those who do not receive the mark will have genuine salvation, but they will become the targets in these last days, most likely facing the persecution, the tribulation in a very powerful way. Will there be born-again, spirit-filled Christians that are preserved during the tribulation? Absolutely. There will be a woman going into the wilderness where she has a place prepared for 3.5 years, and they are going to nourish her and take care of her literally for 3.5 years, the same time period as the Great Tribulation. There will be the 144,000 in Revelation 14 standing upon Mount Zion with the Lord Jesus Christ preserved as they're looking down the mountain at what is going on in the world, where in Revelation chapter 7, the majority of believers will be coming into, they will be in the Great Tribulation, but they will be washing their robes in the blood of the Lamb. They will be like the mourning doves on the mountains. Even though they escaped, they will be seeing the iniquity of their hearts, and they will be repenting deeply because the Great Tribulation is going to allow that to happen. And so Christians today that are not really concerned about repentance and confession and brokenness and taking up their cross and following Jesus and obeying him, you know, they're going to experience and face these harsh times. We know that there are many Christians today that believe that they're not going to be here for this Great Tribulation and the Antichrist, that doctrine of demons known as the pre-tribulational rapture. Unfortunately, the Bible says that many will be falling away in an apostasy, literally defecting from the truth, because the pressure is going to get great. The love of many is going to wax cold. They'll begin to hate one another, betray one another. And God gave us all this information in his word so that we could retain it and begin to allow it to work in us to prepare, to maintain our love, to stay in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to obey the Word of God, to obey the Scriptures, to prepare like Noah, out of faith, not out of fear, to know that harsh times are coming. Now, if God is preparing a place in the wilderness for a woman, and he's going to give her 2 great wings as an eagle to fly into that place where she's going to be nourished for 3.5 years, why wouldn't the rest of God's kids start thinking about preparation? Well, again, the doctrines of once saved, always saved, Christians can't have demons, pre-tribulational rapture, the Holy Spirit cessationism doctrine where the Holy Spirit doesn't move anymore. All these doctrines have really stifled the energetic preparation and the passionate preparation that people should have. But it should be a very intense, quite frankly, joyful preparation that, man, the end times are here. The last days are here. What Jesus said is coming to pass. And as we get ready to go through and endure to the end and hopefully experiencing the preservation upon our lives because we've walked in obedience to the Lord, we're going to actually be eyewitnesses of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, everything I just said to you is in your Bible. It is not an opinion. It is not man-made. It is not imaginative. It is scripture. It's in the Bible, and it has to have its rightful place. So what I'd like to do is I want to go through some passages. And again, I want to say good morning to our friends that are out there. Again, Pastor Jeff, you could call in at 818-369-0326 when you are ready. I want to say good morning to Cindy, our sister Cindy. God bless you, Cindy. And Kim, God bless you. Laquita, God bless you. Callie, good morning to you. God bless you. Melissa Fletcher's in. God bless you. She says, Melissa, in a comment, I believe that the news media is a major deception that is trying to keep the eyes of the people distracted. It amazes me how many people are fixated on the news and believe it, but are not in the Word of God to be prepared for what is coming next. Lord have mercy. Melissa, well said. God bless you. And I believe that we do need to continue to move forward in our preparation, spirit, soul, and body. All right, so there's a number on the screen that you could call, and we'll get into that in just a moment. Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation, chapter 13. We're going to, and can I want to share something with you. I'm always amazed after teaching the book of Revelation for years and years, and realizing I'm just a student, I'm not an expert, but I always thought, if you talk about this anymore, people are going to think, wow, we're just going over this again and again and again. But I don't think that's true, because every time I hear somebody teaching on the book, I press in and I want to hear what they have to say. And I never have gotten bored with Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Revelation, 2 Peter 3, 2 Thessalonians. Why? These are hallmark passages decreeing, declaring the end times. And because we look through those passages and we see the world through that lens, it becomes more and more apparent where we are in time. So what I'd like to do is go to Revelation chapter 13 one more time, and I want to begin in verse 1. Revelation 13, 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea. This is the Apostle John. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. All right? So the 7 heads have a name, blasphemy. It's very important as we look at this scripturally, where it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. The sea represents humanity, nations, tribes, tongues. It's in several places. One of the key places, Revelation 17, the waters that you saw the woman sit upon were nations and tongues. So the sea represents the human race. Now, John is standing upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Remember Daniel chapter 7? Daniel had a vision upon his bed, and he saw the 4 winds of heaven. They were blowing upon the sea. What that meant was that the winds represented political and social agitations. He saw the 4 winds as political and social agitations in Daniel chapter 7 that were blowing upon the sea of humanity. And then what did Daniel see? He saw 4 beasts rise out of the sea, one after the other, each one different from the other one. He saw Babylon. He saw the Medo-Persian Empire. He saw the Grecian Empire. He saw the Roman Empire. That's what is accepted biblical prophecy. And as Daniel saw in a vision the 4 beasts coming out of a turmoilous sea, what we know in the book of Revelation chapter 13, while John is standing on the sea, he sees a singular beast. But what is interesting about the singular beast, not only does it have 7 heads of blasphemy, not only are there 10 crowns with, or 10 horns with crowns on their horns, but we also know in verse 2 of Revelation chapter 13 that the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. He had his feet as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. So what you just saw there, or what we read there, the leopard, the bear, the lion, those were the exact descriptions of Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, he saw the lion, he saw the bear, he saw the leopard, and then he saw that iron kingdom. So imagine that the Bible interprets itself, and now we know that what were independent, sovereign kingdoms in Daniel's vision are now become one. And when I look at the kingdoms that he saw, for example, Babylon, out of Iraq, in the Middle East, Nebuchadnezzar, and then he talked the Medo-Persian Empire, Iran, Assyria, different Middle Eastern parts of the world as the bear. And then he saw the Grecian Empire with Alexander the Great and his four generals. And then he saw the Roman Empire with nails of brass, his very powerful empire, Rome. Well, it's interesting that the first three, Greece, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Iran, are all together. That speaks to me, and I don't understand it all together, but it speaks very loudly to me as a caliphate. When I see the ancient empires being spoken of in the last days, rather than independent sovereign nations, they are gathered together as one beast. There will be a khalifa, there will be an imam known as the 12th, there will be a mahdi that will gather together all the Islamic nations of the world, the seven heads, the 10 horns, and I believe personally that this is realistic, that possibly what we will see in the last days is a formation. Somewhere out of the Islamic ranks, a leader is going to come, is going to unite the Sunni and Shia tribes of Islam, gather them together, and they are going to be an amazing force in the earth, having both a Sharia governmental law system and a religious aspect. And you see the religious part in the second beast. But this first beast is the political, governmental part. Now, the political part here, it says in the latter part of verse 2, his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and it says that the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So we ask ourselves, well, who is the dragon? We know in Ezekiel that Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon, Egypt was known as the dragon. There are other nations that in scripture were also identified as a great dragon. What we know about the last days is that this great dragon will be red. It will be a great red dragon. And I think the Bible puts that in there to show us some clues. Right now, the symbol of China is a red dragon. We believe that China, I believe that China will take the lead in the world at the global stage. And I believe that China will come to a place of power and will give the Islamic beast a seat in the United Nations. And I believe that they already have a bloc within the United States where communism and Islam are very strong and very powerful blocs within the UN. I believe that the United States of America will be removed from the scenario. It will be broken. The great United States of America will be broken. And that's why I believe that some people say that America cannot be found in end time Bible prophecy. And that's unusual that the greatest nation on the face of the earth will not be found in end time Bible prophecy. And it's for one of two things. Either it is destroyed, obliterated, and overwhelmed by the United Nations, the one world government, the Antichrist system, or the United States has adapted to Mystery Babylon and is in herself become a daughter of Babylon, which means she is there. But we know that every ancient daughter of Babylon has been destroyed anyways. And not until the very end of time will the mother of these harlots ever be revealed. So we know that the dragon is going to give power, a seat, and great authority to the beast. So I'm seeing communist China, I'm seeing Islamic beast working together. Verse 3 says in Revelation 13, let me take a sip here. We'll see Lot for just a moment. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Now, this is tough. There's no doubt about it. But in simplicity, let's talk about the seven heads. I believe in Revelation chapter 7, it says, here is wisdom. It talks about the seven heads of the beast. I believe it's referring to the seven ancient empires of the world while Israel was a nation. It's interesting. If you count the seven empires of the world while Israel is a nation, we go back to Egypt. The first time that Israel is a nation is within the confines of the Egyptian Empire. They become a great people. Egypt was the first head of this beast that will show up in the last days. Then you had the Assyrian Empire while Israel was a nation. Then you had the Babylonian Empire while Israel was a nation. Then you had the Medo-Persian Empire while Israel was a nation. That's four. Then you had the Grecian Empire while Israel was a nation. That's five. Then you had what was known as the sixth, which was Rome at the time of the writing of the book of Revelation, while Israel was a nation. You have six ancient empires, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, at the time of the writing of the book of Revelation. Then in 70 AD, you have Israel being scattered to the ends of the earth. They're no longer a nation. And so to keep the pattern consistent, I would imagine that the seventh empire that the book of Revelation 17 says will come for a short period will have to be an empire that shows up after 1948. After 1948, there has to be an empire. Why 1948? Because in 1948, Israel is regathered as a nation. 1967, the Six-Day War, they are solidified. So somewhere in the context of Israel becoming a nation again will the seventh empire. And that leaves us with just a few options. Was it Great Britain? Was it the United States of America coming out as the world power after World War II? Or was it the United Nations? We know that the Ottoman Empire existed in between periods of time, kind of lasted all the way up until late, and some people say into the 1900s. So we had the Ottoman, which was an Islamic caliphate. It was an empire, and it reigned a very short time. And then we know that the eighth beast of Revelation 17 will be made up of the seven. So the eighth world power under the control of Lucifer will have some kind of connection to Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. It will incorporate into itself all these different aspects. Now, we're being told that it has 10 heads or 10 horns. So the 10 horns also speak of 10 kings or kingdoms that give their power to the beast. So I believe that the 10 horns will come out of the Islamic Empire, the Islamic nations that will be ruling and reigning with the beast during his reign. Let's stop for just a moment. Go back to Revelation chapter 13. It says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Well, what are one of the ancient empires who have been wounded unto death? And his what? His deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. So it has seven heads. One of the heads were wounded as unto death. What head was that? Was that the Roman head? Was that the Grecian head? Was that the Islamic head of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia? Was it the Grecian head? What system of government was wounded? Was it communism? Was it the Ottoman Empire? What head was it? Well, this is something for us to realize, but what we know, or to figure out, but what we know is that the deadly wound was healed and the beast is now a completed beast. His deadly wound was healed and all the world wondered after the beast. And again, this beast incorporates a lot into itself. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon. Now wait a second. I went a little bit too fast here. And all the world wondered after the beast. Let's look at that word for just a second. That word wondered in the Greek literally means to admire, to marvel. Talks about admiration. So the whole world, how much of the world? All the world admired, marveled, and went after the beast, a world government, an empire that has gathered together unto itself every ancient empire that ultimately resisted God. That's why the name's a blasphemy. Egypt, with its pharaohs, they had their own gods. The Assyrians, with their false gods, they opposed the living God. Babylon had their own gods, Marduk and Bel and all these other ones. Now, Nebuchadnezzar knew the God of heaven, but for, in general, Babylon had its own system of worship. It was true with the Grecians. Same was true with the Medes and the Persians. Same was true with the Caesars of Rome. And same is true with the Islamic Empire or the United Nations with their black magic, whatever they're into. But the blasphemy was the contradiction against God, not giving glory to God, certainly not giving glory to his son. Now, verse 4 says in Revelation 13, and they worshiped the dragon. Now we're getting into not just admiration, but worship. And this word in the Greek, worship, literally means like a dog licking his master's hand. Now, I have a little dog named Max. When I come home, he's not much of a licker, but he'll lick my hand once in a while to show his affection. So the world is going to have an affection. They're going to prostrate themselves in homage, in worship of this beast. So again, and they worshiped, the whole world worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So obviously it appears that there is going to be a subduing of all the nations of the earth. There will be an international criminal court. There will be an international economy, an international military. There will be a one world government. The battle for the election right now is between a sovereign, independent United States of America versus a globalization that Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, all the other Obamas and the Bidens and all the left desire a one world government. They desire a global community. It has been at work for a very long time. They were very close to having it when Hillary Clinton was thinking that they were going to win the election 4 years ago. We've been in a reprieve for 4 years. We had a chance for 4 years, so people said. Now we're at a moment, and everybody thought there'd be a landslide election. There'd be a great red wave. Well, it's not happening. And all the people that were prophesying, Trump's going to win, Trump's going to win. He may, and hope he will, for goodness sake, right? Because if it's true that Donald Trump is fighting for the independent sovereignty of the United States of America, that would give us a little bit more time. But it does mean, if he wins, that the escalation of violence will begin to erupt in our nation. And I don't think we're going to have a day of peace. Now, if he loses and Biden wins, well, there probably won't be such an outcry from the Republicans. There never is. And the people will probably just be subdued like under Barack Hussein Obama's administration. Nobody went out and burned cars or broke windows or any such thing. There'll be a subduing. And then the international global elite will fast forward, giving power to China again and allowing Bible prophecy. If Joe Biden wins, you are putting everything into overdrive in the acceleration of end time Bible prophecy. If Trump wins, there's some more time. The question is, we don't know, or who is going to win? Let's go back to the scriptures. We know, according to the Bible prophecy, known as the book of Revelation, a time will come on this earth that the whole world will worship the beast. But before we get to that moment, there's got to be a war. There is going to be a global world war. And in that global world war, there will be, with our present population, at least 1.5 billion people killed in this upcoming war. We also know that there will be plagues and famines and pestilences and economic imbalances that will also kill 1.5 billion people, somewhere between 1.5 billion to 2 billion. If the population of the earth is 8 billion, well, 2 billion in the plagues and the famines and the economic imbalance and all this other stuff that's going where lives are being taken everywhere right now, the numbers escalating, you're going to have half the population of the world gone by the time we get to the new world order, one world government system. And of course they have to depopulate the earth, for without a depopulation of the earth, they can't control it the way they want to. And obviously the restrainer nation, which we would say is the right wing in the United States of America, wanting our Christian values, a constitution, our Judeo-Christian values, our moral desire. Well, the difficulty is that our morality levels sunk so low, it's very difficult to stand in the gap and raise them up again. And this is the problem we're having. This is why we're not seeing the acceleration of our great power, because we're in the bed of Jezebel and we're sick and we're not able to get up and get on with the business, even though there's an effort to do so. Time is going to tell where we are. Now, back in Revelation, they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? That's coming. Folks, that's the track we're on right now. And the events that are going to come in the beginning of sorrows, these global events, it's all leading up to the time of persecution, great tribulation. There's going to be a depopulation, a culling of the population. All kinds of events are going to happen. Now, they are happening. You can't sit there and go, yeah, I've heard this for years. Do you know how ridiculous it would sound for someone to say, oh, I've heard this for years, while they're living in the midst of what the news media is reporting as COVID-19? Can you imagine millions of people dying and somebody saying, oh, they've said this from the beginning of time, pestilence and plague. You're in it, right? Okay, so it is with many other things. Verse 5, let's get to verse 5. Revelation 13, 5. And there was given unto him the beast, this global one world government system, power. We believe the beast is Lucifer. We believe that he is the man of sin. Now, that may be what is called the Imam or the Khalifa or the Mahdi. Okay, a lot of Islamic theology about their Mahdi is what the Christian idea is of the Antichrist. So, again, in verse 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So, the beast is going to have 42 months. 3.5 years or 1260 days. What is this mouth, things, and blasphemies? You will find that beast in Daniel chapter 7. And he's going to make war with the saints. He speaks blasphemies against God. One of the great signs, I believe, can be found in Jerusalem, Israel today. In Jerusalem, Israel today, on the Dome of the Rock, there is a mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Written in Arabic around the Al-Aqsa Mosque, it says, Allah has no son. That's what is said. Right there where the temple of God once stood is an Islamic symbol of defiance, opposition, rebellion, and blasphemy. And I do believe that the seven heads will blaspheme the rightful heir of the world, whether it's the Caesars of Rome, whether it's the intellectual prowess of the Grecians, whether it is the Islamic Assyrians, the Medo-Persians, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, modern-day Middle Eastern nations. They do not give place to the Son. There's blasphemy. Let's look at the word blasphemy for just a moment. So it says that he was speaking great things. Let's look at great things first. And what that is the megas, and it simply means figuratively, he was exceeding very loud, high-sounding words against the authorship of Christ or against God. So this is a cry. You hear it in the left. You hear it in our politicians today. You hear it in our government today. You hear it in the blasphemies all over Hollywood. It's there. But he's speaking blasphemies. And that word is the blasphemia, and it literally means vilification against God. evil speaking against God, railing against God. You hear the name of our Lord Jesus Christ being spoken in vain every single day. Ah, Jesus Christ, or God, you know the rest. There is a vilification. They blaspheme God. They mock God. They hate God. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate the church. They hate Christians. And that hatred is coming from a spirit. And that spirit is Satan. And it's manifesting in a dragon system, in a beast system. Okay? But it's animosity, it's enmity, it's hatred against Yeshua, against Jesus Christ, against his church. Now, it's all blasphemy really is. Excuse me. How long will he continue? According to verse 5, 3.5 years. I want you to stop and think. 3.5 years is basically the amount of time that a U.S. president is in office. How much can be accomplished in 3.5 years if you have power over all the nations of the earth? And there is no resisting your agenda. Now, I want you to think about this. In the United States, when a president has an agenda, the other side, either in the Senate or in the House or in the judiciary, they have the potential to become an obstacle to the agenda of the president or to resist it. We're talking 3.5 years of no resistance to the agenda of Satan, the devil, through a legal system, through a world court, through a world military, through a world monetary system, through a world power. Nothing impeding, nothing in the way. How much can Lucifer accomplish in 3.5 years? With blasphemy and hatred against everything that is called God. And if you're a believer living in that world during those 3.5 years, what kind of an environment is that going to be? No resistance, a dread, dark environment. I mean, even righteous Lot was vexed every day by the filthy conduct of the wicked in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, how much more of a demonic spiritual atmosphere is coming upon the earth that is going to crush the faith of the majority of believers? Are you ready for this? Or are you sidestepping it, ignoring it, content with where you're at right now in your spiritual development, in growing in the fruit of the Spirit of God, in the transformation from the old nature to the new nature? Where are you? Because it appears that only those who have put on the nature of Christ or walking in the integrity of Christ, walking in the power of the Spirit, have learned the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, are going to really be able to make it through this. Something to think about. Verse 6 goes on to say, Revelation 13, 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy. Man, you could hear it already all over the world. But he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. So you're going to hear the loud, arrogant boast of the beast that is a combination of all ancient empires that have withstood God. They've all lost, by the way, and they're going to lose again. But God is going to give them the ability for 3.5 years to blaspheme him. You ever stand back and go, you wonder, why will God allow this? He's going to literally allow Satan and the beast and the dragon and all these to blaspheme for three. It's going to be as though there's no resistance. Verse 6 or verse 7. And it was given unto him. It's given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, you may say, well, that's talking about going to war with Israel. Listen, are you a saint of God? You should be. If you're a saint, we're talking about spiritual warfare here. We're talking about a spiritual power that is coming against. And you consider, you know, each one of us uniquely different and shallow in our own way. We're just one tiny little speck of particle of dust. That's who we are, right? And to the degree of faith that we have, to the degree of righteousness that's been established in our lives, to the degree of the favor and the blessing of God because of our obedience to him, whatever measure of Christ we have, it's going to be tested to the umph degree. And I'm telling you, if there's any worldly affection, if you have not carried your cross or I have not carried the cross in some area of our life that God has been asking for, it is going to be exploited in the days ahead. It was given unto him, this beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. What does it mean? They're not going to have any power to resist the agenda. The church today in America, as in a general thought, has already been overcome by the world powers and our national powers. The church today doesn't speak out against what is evil. The church today does not speak out and expose the darkness. They have covered it. They have capitulated. They have tolerated it all in the name of love, and they did it all in the name of Jesus. But they have not had any power to resist what has happened in our country. The legalization of marijuana, the legalization of abortion, the legalization of homosexuality, the legalization of pedophilia that is rising right now, the legalization of the blasphemy of the legislation that is coming out of the belly of hell. There will be no resistance. There will be no obstacle in the way of the satanic agenda. And that's why God said in the last days it will be like the days of Noah. That's why God said in the last days it will be like the days of Lot. That's why God said these things, because they were lawless societies and they were horrible in nature, in imagination, in conduct. And the Christians that will be living in these end times, man, are going to have to go through this for a long time. So he goes on to say, listen to verse 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. All. You see, I don't sit down right now and get my pen out and write volumes of my opinion of what that means. A lot of people do. They're going to get their pen, their computer, they're going to write volumes about what that means. Me? I'm a third grader. I look at it and it says, he's going to make war with the saints. He's going to overcome them. He's going to have power over all the kindreds, tongues, and nations. Period. That's what it says, right? So what does that look like? Let's go on. Verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth, all that dwell upon the earth, shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The only people that will not worship the beast and the dragon are those whose names are securely etched in the Lamb's book of life. What we have found in Scripture that is very daunting, very concerning, what we have found in the New Testament is that the names of people who were written in the Lamb's book of life are erased and they don't know it. That's in your Bible. It's in Revelation chapter 3. It's consistent with, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things? I never knew you. The majority of people believe their name is securely written in the Lamb's book of life because they say they believe in Jesus, like some of my neighbors that believe in Jesus but voted for Biden. Crazy, right? Crazy. I know it's a little intense. I'm not trying to be critical or mean. Just it's unfathomable to me. The only people that will not worship the beast, listen, are those whose names are securely etched in the book of life. Those whose names have been erased and don't know it will worship the beast even while they go to church, even while they proclaim to be Christians, even while they proclaim to be believers, because they don't know, according to Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, that their name was stolen, erased out of the book of life. So they maintain their religious posture in saying they believe, but their conduct follows the Antichrist. It's so biblically literate and clear if we really want to see what the Word of God says. And it's a really good time for every one of us to search our hearts and to see, are we really walking with the Lord in obedience to His Word? Are we being led by the Holy Spirit? Are we in the truth? Are we in light? Is there any darkness within us whatsoever? Because the deception that has come, again, the very elect, if it were possible, could be deceived. Let's move on to verse 9. The whole world, friend, is going to worship this dragon. They're going to take the mark. They're going to worship this dragon. Then it says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Did you have an ear? Did you hear the Spirit today? Beyond my words, did the Holy Spirit quicken something in you to understand? The only question I think we need to know is this happening right now? Is the stage being set for these scriptures to be fulfilled? Is the stage being set? Well, we need to keep studying. We need to keep looking. What we're mostly concerned about is, I want to wake up today. I want to go to work. I want to get some money to put food on the table, pay my bills, send my kids to school. I want to have love and joy and peace in my family. I want to worship together with my friends like we've always done. We want normal. We want to enjoy our lives. We want to go on vacation. We want to explore the great planet. We want to worship God. We want to hear great stories and gospel teachings. We want to be encouraged to stand up, to be salt and light. And that's what we've always had. That's what we want, especially in America. But are things changing that we need to be taking note of right now? Are they changing, or is this just some idea that we're making up because we're reading it in a book and it's like reading a good novel and you're in it, but it's really not happening? We need to ask the question, is this really happening? Well, there's a lot of scripture to study, isn't there? Verse 10, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. What does that word captivity mean? That word actually in the Greek talks about, and it's a long word, and it's the aik malosia. And guess what it means? Captivity, unless you go just a little bit deeper. And then it gets into a little bit deeper of a word, meaning literally a prisoner of war. A prisoner of war. A prisoner of war. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going into a great war. We are in a great battle. It's been going on for 6,000 years. Spiritually speaking, the prisoners of war are those who have been taken captive by the devil at his will. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It is a spiritual imprisonment where people are locked in the confines of fear, depression, pride, jealousy, whatever the prison is, sin, their flesh, carnality, accusation, slander, abuse, rejection. In other words, they are not free in the Spirit to walk in the liberty and the power of the Spirit. There it says, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. And I believe that there are many Christian, quote unquote, leaders today that are leading their congregations into captivity. They're going to become prisoners of war. Why? Because they haven't told them the truth about what is coming. They haven't taught them what is necessary to stand. They haven't preached taking up the cross. They told them they wouldn't be here. There'd be a secret pre-tribulational rapture. They told them, don't worry about your conduct. Once saved, always saved. You don't have to obey God. I believe that the blind leaders in the Christian church are leading the blind masses. And they're both going to fall into the proverbial ditch of slavery, imprisonment, captivity. And then it says, he that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And so there are going to be those who are going to call for an uprising. They're literally using the word of God to slay people, spiritually speaking. They're using the word of God to slay people. Just like Peter said about Paul, that he wrote many hard things, and those who are unlearned and unstable wrestle to their own destruction. They took the literal words of the Apostle Paul and wrestled it to their own destruction, not knowing what he meant. Those who kill with the sword must be killed with the sword. That's also, I believe, some of the tones I'm already hearing in Christendom. Call the saints to the streets to war. We didn't call the saints into the spirit realm to war against the powers of darkness, and we fell and capitulated. Now we expect we're going to win a physical battle, and it's not going to happen. Now it says in verse 11, and I beheld another beast. Now, I want you to know that the last 10 verses, I wanted to finish that. I didn't finish that verse, verse 10. Verse 10, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Wow. Patience. Don't get caught into something prematurely. Don't let somebody inspire you to do something prematurely. Don't listen to the false doctrines. Have faith in what Christ is teaching. This is the patience and the faith. Right now, saints, patience and faith. Patience and faith. The greatest commodity in our lives in the last days, according to the writings of Peter the Apostle, will be our faith. It'll be more precious than gold, though it be tried in the fire. Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Humility. Go low. Go low. Wait. Wait. Get down. Endure to the end. Bear up under the trial. Get ready to go through something. A woman that's about to give birth knows that her labor pains are coming. The intensification of her pangs, she had to have been prepared for them before, but nobody could ever really prepare for that kind of pain, even though you know about it. But she's had some preparation. Now the labor pain is there. There's no turning back. There's no quitting. There's no giving up. It's coming. And so you and I, like the woman in travail, we will be going through, and we're going to have to endure. And if we give up, if we quit, if we throw in the towel, if we go back, if we say, I can't do it anymore, I give up. That's the intended purpose of the devil. That's why right now what is required is faith and patience, faith and patience. And then he goes on to say in verse 11, and I beheld another beast. That first beast was the political, governmental, one world government overpowering the people. Verse 11 says, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Okay. First beast, political, governmental. Second beast has two horns like a lamb. He spoke as a dragon. Something we need to know about the dragon speech. What they're referring to here of the dragon, who is also known as the serpent, is not loud, boisterous, violent. I mean, there will be blasphemy from the seven heads, but I want you to notice the second beast will speak like a serpent. The first beast, boisterous, loud, blasphemous. This beast, like a dragon. Speaks like a dragon. He speaks like a lamb. This is referring to the same speech in the Garden of Eden when the serpent came to Eve and through his cunning, crafty speech, his angel of light, it sounded so right. When she heard him speak, the oozing oil that poured out of his mouth was so enticing, she literally went for it. The second beast that is coming is going to have the mouth. Okay, he's going to have two horns like a lamb, and he's going to speak as a dragon. There's going to be a lamb-like nature. It's going to be peaceful. And you know, Islam is known as the religion of peace among themselves, right? Okay, that it's going to have a very persuasive speech. Verse 12 says, the second beast, he exercises all the power of the first beast. So we have a political and a spiritual connection taking place, like Roman Empire and the Catholic Church. Yeah, that's a really good analogy. Okay, so he exercises all the power of the first beast. In other words, he has the blessing of the state, the blessing of the government, the blessing of that world system. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Huh. How does he do this? How does this second beast, this religious beast, cause the entire world, everybody dwelling in the earth, whose names are not in the book of life, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed? One of his heads of his ancient empires have been healed. It's all together now. Verse 13 tells us, he does great wonders. Great wonders. I want to show you the word wonders and what that actually means in the Greek, because this is going to show up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The word wonders here is an indication of supernatural signs, wonders, and tokens. Again, an indication of supernatural miracles, signs, and wonders. Now watch this second beast here, and then I'm going to do something. I'm going to turn in my Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to just pick this up as we go. So the second beast in Revelation chapter 13 does what? He does great wonders, supernatural miracle signs and wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now watch what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll just pick it up in verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So again, Thessalonians agrees with the book of Revelation who this is. The second beast is coming with power, signs, and lying wonders. And then Revelation says in verse 14, and he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So verse 14 talks about this second beast having an ability to deceive because of miracle signs and wonders. So his power is in deception of the supernatural. And then it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. See, the truth is coming out. People don't want the truth. They don't want to hear this kind of truth. Because whether truth is positive or negative, it's still truth. And the last time I checked, truth, whether it be positive or negative, always sets free. And even if it sounds negative, the truth of what's coming, it still will set us free if we follow the truth. And because people did not want the truth, they did not have love for the truth, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It sounds to me that the whole thing is conduct. I'd rather be deceived by the devil than to be deceived by God. If I am deceived by the devil, God could set me free. If I am deceived by God, there is no hope. And I just read to you in Thessalonians that those who do not love the truth and loved unrighteousness instead and participated in all the world affairs, that God's going to send them a delusion. They're going to believe a lie. What lie? Once saved, always saved. You cannot lose your salvation. There's a pre-trib rapture coming down the pike. Christians can't have demons. Learn how to live in the prosperity of the wealth and accumulation of all the things of the world. No trouble is coming. Be at ease. Be at peace. and they're going to believe lies. They're going to believe they're saved. They're going to believe their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, only to wake up and see that it's gone. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, open unto me. And he's going to say, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. The majority. The love of many will wax cold. You've heard it how many times? But this is what's coming. So let's go back to Revelation 13. And it says in the latter part of 14, and I'll take it from the beginning, verse 14, Revelation 13, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So there's going to be a lot of spiritual stuff going on. Saying to them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image to the beast. Now, the last time we looked, in the days of Babylon, in the days of Daniel, there was the whole world that erected an image to that empire, that local beast, that ancient beast, one of the heads of the beast. And it's Babylon, right? They erected an image, and what'd they say? Make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. So what image in these last days is being built, or what image of the end time beast, the culmination of all the ancient empires together, what image is being erected? And then will it come through television? Will it be digital? Will it be artificial intelligence? Will it be an absolute manifestation of Satan himself? Verse 15 says, after they make this image, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Ah, life is going to come to this image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So now we know there's going to come an image. The image is going to speak. The image is going to cause to worship. It's going to have life in it. And anybody that does not bow down and worship the image will be killed. This is martyrdom. This is persecution. Verse 16, it says this. Now, what that image is something for us to talk about. Let's find out. What could that image possibly be? Let's talk about it. Verse 16 says, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. The mark of the beast. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, let's talk about what the image might be. What might be the mark of the beast? We have an image that comes to life and speaks. Anybody who doesn't bow down and worship is killed, just kind of like in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, in the days of Daniel. The image was there. Everybody was to worship. Those who didn't were thrown into the fiery furnace. It's coming back. And sometimes when I think about the deadly wound, it appears that that ancient Babylon, the world ruler, what is the mark? Well, here's what we know. Without it, you cannot buy or sell. You've heard it before, but think about it. If you're going outside today, most likely you're going to work. You're going to go to the gas station. You're going to drive by the store, pick up a few items. You're maybe going to need to go pay a bill or go to the bank. Listen. That system does not work for you if you're born again. If your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, that system doesn't work because you will not receive the mark of the beast. And if they don't kill you with the Islamic sword or some other mechanism, you're going to have to live in this world, not being able to buy and not being able to sell. What does that look like? What does that look like? Something to talk about. And then he says in verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Well, I'm not going to stick my right hand out and take a mark. I'm not going to let him put something in my forehead. Are you sure? Are you wearing your mask right now in compliance so that you can go to the store? Do you live in a region where you can't go shopping unless you have a mask? Maybe this is a prelude to what's coming on the earth. Well, I gave you my take on it. I had other scriptures I wanted to get into, but I think I've said enough today. If you have a question or a comment, I want to invite you to call into the program today. The number again is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Make sure to press 1 on your dial pad, and we'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to hear what God is saying to you. We'd love for you to, you know, expand a little bit on what we've just talked about as a general outline. That's all we presented, was a general outline of passages of Scripture. What are your thoughts? 818-369-0326. I want to thank my friend John, who gave a donation to the ministry this week. I want to thank you so much for your gift, for thinking about this New Wine Ministry ministry on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on the Omega Radio Network as we're broadcasting to the ends of the earth. And every once in a while, somebody will send a gift. And I just want to say to you who have, thank you. May God bless your giving. May God bless you. And we appreciate it. We don't get paychecks for what we do. We never have in 28 years of full-time ministry. We have never received a paycheck for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, not at our church, not on radio. So when you give a gift to this ministry, it supports us in every single way. It supports us with our food, with our paying our bills, our living expenses, paying for the radio. This is how God has orchestrated our lives to live. And so every once in a while, when somebody gives a gift, we're just wanting to say again, thank you. So God bless you. Waiting for your call right now. And in the interim, I'll go to the comments and find out what y'all are saying out on the comments right now. It looks like we're kind of having a slow day today. Chandra's saying, listening while I work. Thank you, Pastor, for your teaching. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, good morning, Pastor. Listening while working. Spot on program today, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt. So I wanted to invite the pastors, Jeff Bass out of Virginia, Pastor Kevin Honeycutt, call into the program if you have time. Speak into this moment. We'd love to hear from you. I do have a call coming in right now on the local number, 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Oops, I didn't hit the button. Hello, 479-321. Hello, Phil.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I was wondering, I had a theory about the image of the beast. I'm thinking maybe it's virtual reality just played over the TV.
I'm thinking that's pretty, that sounds right. Like a hologram?
Yeah, something. They can do a lot of strange things with technology today.
They can actually get back to an image, can't they?
Yes. Yeah. They make, years ago, they make Bugs Bunny talk like a human.
Exactly. So, that's right.
So it may very well be that.
Interesting.
What's kind of hard for me to understand is the charm that comes to the average person from the beast or the image of the beast. I think it's a matter of believing what you want to believe. So you don't have to, what you see is making a commitment to Jesus. I don't know. I'm still kind of working on that.
It's hard to imagine that this cunning deceiver was able to do what he did in the Garden of Eden and what he's been able to do for 6,000 years. And now his prowess is going to be at its maximum strength in deception. But if we know the truth of God and we love righteousness, we shouldn't be deceived. We should know through this biblical lens of what we're looking at. We should have the truth to expose the darkness, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Great comments. Amen. Thank you, Phil. Yeah. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too, sir. All right. We're waiting for your call. 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you into the broadcast. We've got a good 15 minutes left. If there's something you'd like to share, maybe you disagree with what you heard today. I would love to hear your disagreement. I'd love to know what you're thinking. And maybe you have a different look at the way things are going. What I presented out of Revelation chapter 13 is something I see yet ahead of us. And how close are we to that moment? Well, there are several things that need to be accomplished. There's no doubt about that. And just waiting for your conversation. Come on, you're on international global radio, folks. You have an opportunity to take what you've learned, what you've studied, what the Holy Spirit is saying to you, and to communicate your thoughts and ideas over the airwaves right now. And so, but I guess this conversation is maybe self-explanatory. Maybe we're in agreement. I would like to talk about, you know, what do you think the image is, like Phil just did? What do you think the mark of the beast is? How close are we to it? I just read an article this morning about the Temple Institute, again, ready to build the temple. They're training the Aaronic priesthood. And they're getting ready to, they have a school that they've started to train the Aaronic priests because they're going to be building the temple. But the problem is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. So that's coming into fruition. I believe that's a major sign of the end times. What about you? Waiting for your call. 818-369-0326. And then all you have to do is press 1 on your dial pad. And don't do it for me. I mean, I could beseech you to call as long as I want. I don't want you to call because you feel sorry. Oh, nobody's talking. No, if you have something to say, we would love to hear what you have to say. Shirley Woolsey is telling us that she feels we are very close. And Shirley, I agree that we are very close. As a matter of fact, the scripture I guess I'll go to was in Luke. And I'll look at Luke right now, 21. And it tells us in Luke 21, and I'll pick it up in verse 7. Is that where I want to be? Yeah. In Luke 21, verse 7, and they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will be when these things shall come to pass? Can you imagine? And then he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. The time draws near, go ye not therefore after them. But when you shall hear of wars, and by the way, the time draws near goes back to 2 Thessalonians when Paul was writing to refute the idea that people were saying it was about the preeminent or the imminent, any moment, preacher rapture, the Lord is coming. That he was refuting that idea. Don't ever forget that. And it says, but when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not yet. So so what is a commotion? The word commotion in the Greek literally means, it's a very long word, instability, disorder, confusion. Are we sensing on a global level instability, disorder, confusion? Remember those four winds that caused the political and social agitations and out of the sea came a beast. Revelation 7 talks about the four winds that are being held back till the servants of God are sealed in their forehead. I believe the sealing is underway in our generation. And I believe the four winds are about to be released through the first four trumpets of Revelation chapter 8. And you talk about instability. You talk about tumult. You talk about disorder and commotion. I believe the whole world system is going to be shaken. Why? Because in order for the new world order to come, every system on earth has to be shaken until it's taken over by the end time Antichrist beast system. So let me go check my phone calls here. I got some calls coming in. I love that. All right. So we've got a call coming in to area code 916. Let's take this call. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Vincent.
Well, good morning. Is this Sean?
No, this is Mark.
Hello, Mark. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing better. I'm still alive. I'm getting better. I'm going to make it.
Amen. God bless you. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I wanted to speak a little bit about the issue of wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, and also the issue of the upcoming vaccinations against COVID.
Excellent.
So regarding the mask issue, Pastor, I think it's really important for Christians, believers, to not wear the mask and to stand up against the pressure to wear the mask. This is really, it's not that the mask is, that's not what's going on. What's important about it is that we believers develop the skills to resist and develop the by practicing the skills to stand against, just, you know, gently, politely, and logically refusing to wear the mask is a practice session. It's an opportunity every time we're asked to put on the mask to inwardly develop the skills to resist. So there have been people have said to me, well, you really should wear the mask because if you don't wear the mask, it makes other people in the general public uncomfortable. People out there are afraid. People out there, they believe that the mask is the solution to preventing the transmission of disease. I, for one, Pastor, I don't think that that's true. I don't think that the mask is at all effective in preventing disease. As we have discussed, the mask is the government's way of grooming us to become obedient and complacent for what's coming down the pike. And what's coming down the pike. Oh, go ahead, Pastor.
Just a quick interjection. I love what you're saying because it kind of gives the indication. I happen to believe that people that are getting sick right now with the flu or with COVID, whatever they call it, I believe that God's people need to also look, even if they've gotten sick, that God is allowing for their immune system to grow and develop even stronger. And if we really have faith in the word of God, like in Psalm 91, then we need to understand that even these things are working out for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Everything does. It's all about training. I love what you're saying. Please go on.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Vincent. And you know, the next point is that we have vaccinations coming down the pike. There are laboratories that are working on developing a vaccine. And the way I see it coming down is that in the future, let's say a year from now, that vaccine is going to be, we are going to be told by the government in a year or so that those who refuse the vaccine can no longer buy or sell. And that is the proof of the vaccine being the mark of the beast. You know, Revelation 13:17, I believe it is, talks about the mark of the beast being in the number 666 and the location being in the hand. And it talks about the person who refuses the mark of the beast will not be allowed to buy or sell. Well, regardless of the physical attribute, whether it's the inoculation takes place in the hand or whether there's some sort of mathematical formula attached to the vaccine namely 666. Regardless of that, I think the key element for identification and what Christians need to wake up to is the fact that in the future, just for sake of discussion now, let's say 12 months from now, one will not be allowed to buy or sell if one has not been vaccinated. Now, in the meantime, Pastor, the vaccine's going to hit the stores. Doctors are going to be prescribing it, let's say in 3 months, for sake of discussion, 3 months from now. Vaccine will be made available and people will be encouraged to take the vaccine. So then 9 months after that, all of a sudden we become aware that we can no longer buy or sell if we haven't been vaccinated. Well, what has happened to these Christians that have taken the vaccine before the statement was made that we cannot buy or sell? They have taken the vaccine, they have been marked by the beast, and they're doomed. I think it's incumbent upon every believer to really be watchful, be mindful, be thinking, be praying, and being open to the whisper of the Holy Spirit regarding the vaccine and regarding other issues that are coming down the pike. Because, you know, what Satan loves to do is to snare, to entrap, and to deceive. And that, sir, is my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, I'll tell you what, that was a brilliant dialogue. If I wanted to play devil's advocate with what you just said, I would say something, and I'm going to do it just to be, light about it. But maybe somebody's listening and saying, Mark, how dare you tell people not to wear their mask and not to take that vaccination? If they don't take that vaccination, they're going to die. And it wouldn't be surprising to me personally if, you know, some covert operation of releasing more plague or pestilence into the air, a new upgraded level of flu where people will become, oh, I've got to take it, through trickery. But what do you say to that person that says, what are you talking about, not taking a vaccination for a disease that's killing people and not wearing a mask? And how could you say that? What would your response be?
Well, my response would be, search your heart. Look deep down in your heart. Ask yourself, is it possible that what you are talking about right now, namely the need to comply and to wear your mask, ask yourself if perhaps that is a huge deception to which you have fallen prey. You know, set aside your intellect for a moment. Set aside your pride. Ask yourself if you have been deceived. Period.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Great answer. Way to go. What a great comment. I loved what you shared. Very, very, very well done. And thank you for that intelligent conversation. God bless you, sir. All right.
God bless you, Pastor.
Yes. Thank you for the blessing. I appreciate that. All right. We've got about 90 seconds left. I guess we'll start wrapping things up right now. And man, it's been good to be with you today. I pray that you'll take the time to really search out the scriptures, keep pressing in, keep learning. I guess we're going to know in a few days what the end result is. We got lawsuits flying around the country. There's turmoil in our nation. Got prophecy waiting to be fulfilled in this country. But we have right now this moment to cling to our Lord Jesus Christ. Cling to him. Get near to him. Union in the spirit with him. Love him. He loves you so much. Call upon his name. Ask for his help. Ask him to deliver you from all deception. I'll do the same thing. Take all deception and darkness out of my soul. I don't want any of it. I want to be pure light, all light. You do too. Just ask the Holy Spirit to do that through the word of God, through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. May God's protection be upon you, each and every one. I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. This is Pastor Vince right now on omegaradio.org. There's a 24-hour, 7-days-a-week radio station, Omega Radio. There's a roundtable discussion talking about iniquity, the very thing that Jesus says, I don't know you, workers of iniquity. They're going to be talking about it right now. I hope you'll join the conversation. Until tomorrow, I'm Pastor Vince. Shalom and God bless. We love you all, and thanks for participating in our broadcast today.